The process of applied functional science is the transformation of the notion into the motion.
From the Gray Institute, I'm John, and this is the Gray Institute Podcast. Gray Institute is internationally acclaimed for its innovation, development, mastery, and delivery of applied functional science, AFS. AFS is based on scientific truth, not theory, of how the human body moves in all three planes. AFS allows movement professionals like you to apply the best, most effective, and most efficient movements to any individual based on specific needs and goals. For 40 years, through training, education, and mentorship, Gray Institute has equipped over 150,000 professionals with comprehensive knowledge in the principles of applied functional science. Whether you are physical therapists, personal trainers, athletic trainers, chiropractors, strength and conditioning coaches, physicians, physiotherapists, occupational therapists, osteopaths, physical therapy assistants, or kinesiologists, our goal is to help you become the go-to movement professional. The Gray Institute podcast is questions-based. You send in your questions and we'll discuss them. If you're listening and have questions, email them to info@grayinstitute.com. We join Gary as he discusses optimal body movement and function for our clients.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you so much for spending some time with us and helping us understand more about 3D maps.
Sounds good.
It was introduced to me through Jason Hamera, who we met through Procedos, and I found it very interesting. Tina's been using it using the Procedos regularly with her personal training clients.
Oh, great.
I think there's a little bit of a facet missing for us in the understanding of what 3D maps is. We experienced it ourselves and had the aha moments that come along with it, but we still don't have quite a grasp on what it is and how it differentiates itself in the market. So it was great that Jason said, "Hey, I've got this, the creator of it, and you're known as the father of function or the grandfather of function."
Grandfather, right. Yeah.
Grandfather of function. There you
go. The old guy, right.
So he said, "You got to talk to this guy." So I'm glad we were able to make this work out. First question for you, Dr. Gray, is what got you into studying human movement?
It's interesting. I think I found out two things when I was real young, believe it or not, in seventh grade. I had experienced the opportunity to work in a physical therapy clinic. So I immediately knew I fell in love with that. And believe it or not, in seventh grade, I also fell in love with the young lady who I ultimately married. So I'm one of the weird people that in seventh grade, I wanted to marry this beautiful lady. And I also wanted to become a physical therapist. And they both came true. So pretty fortunate.
Excellent.
That's awesome.
And so that got you started in the human movement back in early school day years.
Yeah, long wow. time ago. Just even then, kind of knowing that I was going to be working with the human body, I was attracted to things when most of us took physics in high school, a lot of people go, "This is kind of dumb." But I thought, well, wait a minute, I think physics is going to impact how my patients are going to move. I think gravity is going to impact the mass and momentum. So I started applying it very early on I think I kind of did that subconsciously.
Really?
Yeah. I think I just thought, well, if I'm going to know how to get a human being to move better, I have to know how the human being moves now and what affects them. And became obvious to me very early on that gravity, ground reaction force, mass and momentum had meaning to me even in high school. Before I became a therapist.
That's really cool. And then you transferred obviously into, you got into the physical therapy market. Is that right?
I was fortunate to become a physical therapist back in the day where you didn't have to be real smart. now it's, you have to have a certain grade point average. It's very competitive to get in.
Sure.
Back when I got in, they just wanted more males. So if we had a heartbeat and, you know, could spell our name, we were good to go. But as soon as I got out of physical therapy school, I knew that wasn't everything. So I studied, got involved in a couple personal training certifications. I became certified as a strength coach. I became a certified athletic trainer, and obviously became very apparent to me that it's all about human movement.
Okay.
You know, people who come to us, whether they're, you know, labeled a physical therapy or a personal training client or a athlete or somebody wants to get bigger, stronger, faster, or just a young person with cerebral palsy who wants to walk someday, the common denominator is human movement. So I ultimately said, okay, the rest of my life I'm going to spend on becoming what's called a human movement specialist. And that's what I guess I prefer to be called.
Excellent. And what sort of things do you do to, I guess to fill your day? Like what is your day involved now in terms of research and developing your products at the Gray Institute?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it's different now than it was in the good old days. In the good old days, the big part of the day was treating patients and treating clients and treating athletes and training people. So I was blessed not to be just on the rehab side. I was blessed to have the opportunity to be on the performance side and also be on the prevention side. So now a big part of my day is, still I get the opportunity. People still let me see their patients, and, athletes still fly in, and I still get to see clients, but it's not a 12-hour day deal. Now what I do is I try to understand human movement even better. I really believe I only know about 5% of what I need to know, which is frustrating. Because being an old guy, I don't have a lot of time left to figure that out. And I really enjoy sharing the knowledge. And so a lot of what we're doing now is trying to put together systems and ways that other people don't have to go through the 45 years of grunt that I did in order to say, wow, this is pretty cool. I can empower this person by doing this, by getting rid of their pain, getting them to move better, getting them to lose weight, having them enjoy life a lot more. So a big part of my day is coming up with techniques and strategies on how to share this information with other people throughout the world.
Yeah. And that's a real challenge, isn't it? Because we want to make it, we don't want to dilute too much of the nuts and bolts of it. At the same time, we have to try and make it scalable. So, for example, several of the companies that I've worked for in the past, they've all had wonderful products and education that goes behind it. But those education, scenarios have seemed to come down in quality so that they could go up in scalability. Does that make sense?
No, that makes too much sense. Yeah. Not only does it make sense, Justin, it's brilliant, because you just defined our world. So when I first started teaching back in 1976, I thought everybody wanted to know everything about everything. So I went deep into the chain reaction biomechanics of the foot and the knee and the hip and the back and the neck and the shoulder. And then what we came up with, chain reaction biomechanics, I thought everybody wanted to know that when the foot did that, that the knee did that, the hip did that, and that caused the shoulder to do that. And we somehow, for some stupid reason, we still think there are some people out there who do want to know that. And there are. So we actually did the opposite of what you just described. We made it non-scalable. And we made it where you had to put in the time and the work and the effort to really understand it. We didn't want to simplify it, water it down. There's two types of simple. There's stupid simple, and there's simplicity that emanates from complexity. And the bad news is a lot of the things you're talking about is what I call stupid simple, where people sat down and said, we're going to try to make this simple for stupid people. And it makes no sense. It's simple and stupid people can do it. But in my mind's eye, it's not the right part of simplicity. The right side of simplicity is after you go through the valley of complexity. And you have to stay there for a while. And then finally you find out that you can climb the mountaintop and you can look back at the complexity and say, so this is what simplicity is. So, that's the mistake we've made for years. And it's kind of funny. Just yesterday we were talking about, okay, how do we still keep the sophistication of the complexity yet make it initially simple, so the practitioner can say, wow, this is powerful. I want to know more. I want to go deeper and I want to do better for my patients and clients. Big challenge.
Were you able to solve that question yesterday?
No. We're kind of solving it. But it's weird. The analogy I use, we, all work with a lot of athletes, and the analogy I use with a lot of people is I'll have an athlete come in here and I'll say, do you want to be the best at what you do? Yes. But you're going to have to commit. Okay. You're going to have to commit to certain things, and I'm going to evaluate you. I'm going to do the best I can, but I'm not going to hold your hand, and I'm not going to be there for you. And you're going to have to put something into this every day, whether it's restoration and recovery or whether it's something that really gets you, you know, snarly tough. But you got to do that to be the best at what you can do. But then I sit down with a bunch of therapists or personal trainers or athletic trainers, and I say, what do you do every day to become better? So you tell your athletes and your patients that, and if we flip the question and say, so Gary, do you want to be the best? And I go, yeah. Well, you're going to have to do something every day. You're going to have to put some effort into this every day. And we're in a culture of once I get my certification and once I get my doctor degree in physical therapy, and once I'm a certified athletic trainer, and once I get this, I know everything.
Right.
Therefore, I don't have to commit anymore. That's like signing up for the basketball team and getting your jock strap and saying, I'm there. I'm the greatest basketball player in the world. I got a jock strap on.
Yeah.
So it's a dilemma because I understand the human nature of saying, well, I've kind of gone through all this, so I apparently already know. But if the question is, do you want to become the best? Then I really believe people have to listen to podcasts like this. And people have to, there's a lot of resources out there, a lot of people that are trying to offer things like the Gray Institute, where people can really improve their ability to be the best movement practitioner in the world.
That's right. And you offer a podcast, don't you?
Yeah, we have a podcast. It's probably not as good as yours. It's kind of boring because I just kind of gerbil-jarbel. People send me questions, but I like this. This is much – I enjoy this much more because, you know, you can respond in real time to, you know, something that doesn't make sense or, you know, to have me clarify something or challenge me on something, which I really like, where when you do that on your own, you're not as – you don't challenge yourself as much. I'd rather be on your podcast than on mine, actually.
Yeah. And I guess it takes a little bit more courage because you have the fear of sounding stupid, and I don't mind. I've gotten over that fear of sounding stupid just so that I can learn. And it's kind of like that whole explanation you just made of being down in that low place. I live in that low place, even though certain people see me as having made certain accomplishments. I still don't think I know much, if at all, anything at all.
Well, that's why you're so successful, because that's the, you know, living down in the valley and the complexity is okay as long as you know you're there. Yeah. And sneaking up to the mountaintop every once in a while to kind of get a glimpse of what it really looks like from what people call the 30,000 foot view is okay. But you got to live in that. You got to live in the valley. You know, everybody wants to live on the mountaintop, but if you want to do the hard work and dig the ditches and find out what's really going on and understand human movement, you got to live in the valley.
Yeah. And I was listening to a finance podcast yesterday and was listening to the gentleman that put together, what's it called? Barstool, which is a betting app that just got bought out. And he said that he had been doing the work for over 10 years to get this up and running, really hard yards to do it. And now he's quote unquote living his dream. And that was the announcer saying that you made it to the mountaintop. And he said, yeah, I know I'm there now, but I pull myself back from being in that dreamy area and live in the present to still be able to do the work that's involved with running a company. So I think that's an important point for people that are listening that are possibly in that same spot where they think, oh, I just got my certification. I am the best trainer in the world. And, well, maybe shift your mindset to what can I learn next or what can I challenge myself with next to be a better personal trainer or a better fitness professional.
You got it.
Yeah. I've got some questions as I was studying 3D maps. What exactly for the person that's listening, that's going, okay, what is 3D maps? How would you explain that to the average person?
Believe it or not, that's a little easier than it used to be. If we're a human movement professional, which by definition we are, you can call yourself a personal trainer, a fitness professional, a fitness coach, yoga teacher, you know, spin director. But if you're in charge of a human being coming into your presence and they say, make me better, make me enjoy life more, encourage me, make my body move better so I can go out and play with my kids better, so I can play with my grandkids, so I can hit a ball better, so I can throw a ball better, so I can jump higher. So all the things that all human beings want, it boils down to human movement. And so by definition, whether you're a therapist or a trainer or an athletic trainer, strength coach, or doesn't matter, we're by definition in charge of understanding how the human body moves. And therefore, we wanted to ultimately come up with the ultimate assessment on human body movement. So if my job for you, Justin, and you, Tina, is to empower your bodies to move better, I have to know how your body moves. Kind of makes sense. You know, it's like, okay, so far we're not down in that valley too much. This is pretty commonsensical. So what we did is studied what was already out there. There's some systems already out there that we obviously don't agree with. That doesn't mean they're bad or doesn't mean we're bad. It just means we don't agree with it at all. And therefore, if we agreed with it, we should have just said, hey, go do that. You know, don't waste your time with the Grand Institute. Go do that and you'll be happy. But knowing that we disagreed a lot with what they were doing, we started with what we called, so what do we really want to know about human movement? And what 3D MAPS is, in kind of in a nutshell, is the 45-year evolution of asking that question. What do I want to know about the human movement of that individual that I can take advantage of now to allow them to move better? That's my job. So if you are going to spend a minute with me or a half hour with me or a day with me, my job is to understand how your individual body moves and how to get it to move better, to allow you to do whatever you want to do better, allow you to get rid of pain, whatever your secondary goal is. The first goal is the medicine of movement, which a lot of people, I like that phrase that a lot of people use.
It's a great phrase.
So,
yeah.
So we basically sat back and wrote down what we call a litmus test of what do we want our system to reflect. And when you hear it, it's almost kind of crazy obvious. If you want to know human movement, you have to know, first of all, where movement occurs in the human body. So I don't want to know how a horse moves. I don't want to know how my dog moves, although I love my dog and I kind of want to know how he moves. But right now I'm interested in the human being across from me. And I say to myself, so where does motion occur? And the answer is obviously at all the joints. Okay, so mid-femur doesn't move, all right? My knee moves and my hip moves, so I got it. And then the next question I ask is, so what do I want to know about the motion at that joint? And the answer is, well, I want to know in what direction does it move? And so we now know that every joint in the body moves in six directions, three planes of motion. So far, undeniable. Even people who would have a different system, so far they have to nod their head. Okay, so far you haven't said anything that's not scientific or not biomechanical or out of bounds. So then what I'd say is, okay, let's take the hip for example. When I see you and you come to me and say, hey, you know, I love to jog and I just want to jog better. You know, I'm struggling right now and I have a little knee pain and, you know, I might have a little plantar fasciitis or I don't have any pain, but I'm just not getting past this threshold or I want to increase my 10K time or I don't care what my time is. I just want to go out and enjoy 3 miles and not feel beat up. So do I need to know how you run, how you move? The answer is yes. Do I need to know instantly what your hips are doing? The answer is yes. Do I need to know all six motions of your hip? Yes, because you just got done telling me you want to run. And so then the question becomes, well, what do I need to know about that motion? A term that I get confused and that I'm trying to do a better job and I'll probably mess it up during this podcast is for our listeners is that a motion occurs at a joint. A movement is a combination of motions. So if I reach down and pick up something, all my joints are going through motion, but the culmination of the motion creates a movement. So when we talk about motion, we're talking about a joint in a certain plane of motion. So I want to know, and this is critical, functionally, and we'll get back to that word because it's a word that I screwed up my whole life. Functionally, how does the hip move in Justin and how does the hip move in Tina? That's my responsibility to you in all six directions, which is, whoa, wow, you just added a lot. Oh, and I need to know both hips. And then I go, do I need to know what your knees do if you're a runner? Yep. How about your feet and your subtalar joint and your mid-tarsal joints? Yep. Even more importantly, do I need to know what your spine's doing? Yep. Everybody I've seen walk and run, their spine's moving. How about your shoulders? Yep. So you got the drill. Almost the point where you're going, where you start outlining this, you go, it's impossible. I'm sorry. Can't do it. You know, so we can, but we're going to have to be here for 4 years. You know, if I really want to know what Justin's every motion in his body in all three planes of motion. So what we did is there's the motion of, I wiggle my thumb. Am I interested in that right now? Nope. I don't need to know that right now, Justin, because you didn't tell me you wanted to go hitchhiking, and you didn't tell me you wanted to play the piano. You didn't tell me you wanted to utilize your thumb to utilize, you know, some dexterity thing. You said you want to run. So if you have a little limitation in your thumb, that's not going to throw me off today. So what we now know is there's what called vital joints. A vital joint is a joint that influences other joints with what we call global human movement. And global human movement, by definition, is what you do 99% of the day. You sit, you stand, you squat, you reach, you balance, you walk, you swing, you all the things that we do. It does not include sleeping, does not include lying down. That's not human movement. That's human sleeping. So now it becomes, you sit back, go, oh my goodness, now we're in trouble. So if we're really going to do an assessment of this motion at each joint for Justin and Tina, I need to know functionally how every one of their joints moves in six dimensions, true or false, true. Knowing that there's 11, what we call critical joints in the body that influence other joints immediately. If we do the quick math, we have 66 motions that I have to assess if I'm going to have an idea how you walk or run. Now, that's so far, no one can deny it. I mean, we could be, you know, sitting down with our competitors right now, and so far they can't raise their hand and go, no, that's not true. It's been out there for thousands of years. Everybody would agree, not only how they move, but how they interact as a chain reaction. So just laying you out on a table and wiggling your hips is going to get me nowhere. But putting you in a position that looks like running and seeing what your hip and your knee and your foot and your thoracic spine and your shoulders are doing, now I'm going to get something. Now here becomes the big dilemma, so to speak. I not only need to know the amount of motion that you have at each joint in each of those six directions, 66 motions, but I also need to know how well you control them. Because you might have the same amount of motion at Tina, let's say with hip extension, but Justin, you don't control your hip extension as well as Tina. I'm going to have to treat you both entirely differently. I need to know that. I need to know that day one if I'm going to help you with anything to do with global human movement. So now you go, wait a minute. Now you're telling me not only do I need to know the mobility or the motion of 66 motions in the critical joints of the human body, but now I need to know the strength or the stability or the control of those motions in a functional position. 66 more things, and you go, yep. So not only do I need to know how well your hip can internally rotate, what functional motion is available, but I need to know how much of that functional motion do you have control over? Do you use when you run? In fact, it could be that you can show me a lot of mobility and the very lack of stability in that. I might already have a great picture of why you're having problems with your low back while you're running, because you can't control the motion of that your hip has. So any biomechanist so far would go, amen. You know, hallelujah. Can't deny what Grant Stute says. You need to know 66 mobility motions and 66 stability motions if you're going to have a comprehensive evaluation. So once we came up with that, believe it or not, what we did is we went to a couple of our competitors and saw what they had. And I'll be, I don't mind mentioning my competitors because I like them. They're wonderful people. They're smarter than I am. They're better looking than I am. They have the same passion as I do. They care for people. They've helped millions of people. It just happens that I don't agree with their assessment. Big deal, you know, and hopefully they don't agree with mine or they wouldn't be selling there. So FMS is, for an example, one, and Fusionetics is another. So what we did is we gave our that criteria that's independent of us, the biomechanical criteria, which really is what we'd call 66 plus 66, 132 critical assessments that you need to do on any human being if you're going to have a complete picture of their ability to move. And again, so far, everybody go, yep, so far, I can't argue with you. And so we gave it to independent biomechanists and said, okay, here's a profile called FMS. Can you tell me how many of the 132 they cover? And the answer was 6. And I go, okay, that's, they've been on a long time. And so 6 is better than 0. But in our mind's eye, it's not as good as 132. And so we selflessly said, well, we want more than 6. Okay. We did the same thing with Fusionetics. Fusionetics, strangely enough, was 4. And I go, okay, well, I understand it's artificial movement. They're not functional movements. You're not looking at mobility and stability. You're not looking at all three planes of motion. So you're doing something. And so we selfishly said we want at least 50% of the 132. Over a period of about 3 months of just beating ourselves up, we basically, in fact, I'm real close to the what we call the war room that it happened in. We came flying out of there. People want to know what was wrong. And he said, we have come up with 6 movements that cover all 132 motions.
Wow.
And that's when we had a eureka moment. Then I would go, wait a minute, time out. You mean I can get my client to do 6 movements that I know they can do, they're functional movements, and then tweak that movement, and I can assess all 66 motions of the human body, maximal range of motion functionally, and then determine whether or not they have control over that motion functionally with a slight tweak of stability, but they're still the same 6 movements? The answer is yes. Easy. And again, we handed it to independent biomechanists and said, take a look at what we've come up with. And they go, whoa, this could be the holy grail, or what one biomechanist said, the DNA of human movement. These are the building blocks of everything the human body can do. So if you understand the building blocks, then yes, you now have a foundation on which you can go anywhere you want to go. And that was, that's not an elevator speech unless it's a really tall building, but that's the definition of, that's how we came up with 3D maps. And that's what 3D maps is.
What does MAPS stand for those listening? The MAPS.
Yeah. It's a movement analysis and performance system. So obviously we're going to analyze movement. And again, let's take a look at like something like FMS, functional movement system. Okay. Well, first of all but really, I think one of their movements are functional. And that's my opinion. We're not biomechanists now. And strange enough, 5 of their things you have you do, you're not moving. So that's great. That first, when I saw that years ago, I go, I don't think you can call that a movement analysis because you're not moving. You're statically holding a position or doing something. And so if you want to evaluate how the body moves, you, strangely enough, you have to facilitate movement, mass and momentum, inertia, all the things that the body deals with. When somebody walks, they're moving. Somebody reaches, they're moving. When you throw, you're moving. When you jump, you're moving. And so you have to engage the body in controlled movement to assess the movement. So it's movement analysis and performance system. It's also rehab system. We have thousands of physical therapists that use 3D maps because it guides them into rehab based on building upon success. So the whole performance system says, here's the foundation of 3D maps. Here's how we tweak it based on the needs of different clients and the needs of different bodies and the needs of different goals relative to the need of the individual based on what we just saw.
Sure. And I think people can get confused when they hear the word performance with athletic performance. I think performance, it draws a straight line from, like you said, in rehab, somebody who may have torn something or other, and they're just trying to improve the performance of that particular joint through physical therapy. So I'm glad you highlighted that because performance is such an athletic term, and I think we confuse it a lot. Mm-hmm. That was a really in-depth and awesome explanation of 3D maps, mm-hmm. because I was expecting a quick, like you said, a 30-second elevator speech, and I got way more.
They should have warned you. Well, people who know me go, if you ask Gary and expect a 20-second answer, you know, you better start yawning now, because it's, I don't know.
Jason.
I think, I, you know, on one hand, I will say that I'm passionate about it. And therefore, you know, once I get going, I get going. But on the other hand, I got to take you into the complexity a little bit.
That's great because it helps me with my other questions that I had for you. One of the questions was, there are many different assessments out there from various companies. What differentiates Matt? You answered that. you clearly answered that in the explanation that you gave.
Can I answer it a different way?
Absolutely.
So the problem is what I've thrown it in a couple times. A biomechanist would agree that we cover 132 and we're saying that the other groups has like six or four. The analogy I always use, and again, tongue in cheek, is that if I had a headache and all of a sudden my doctor says, you know, there's a possibility, Gary, you have a tumor. And I just want to do a brain scan on you. And therefore I'm going to send you to a scanning machine. And we have a scanning machine that looks at 10% of the brain. We have a scanning machine that looks at 5% of the brain, or we have this new scanning machine called 3D Maps that looks at 100% of the brain. Where do you want to go? That's a no-brainer, so right. to speak. You know, and so then hopefully those who are saying, wait a minute, you know, hopefully the FMS people or the Fusionetics people are out there going, wait a minute, you know, says you. Well, says me in science. Because again, everything that I led up to, the mobility part and the stability part of the critical motions of human movement, everybody agrees with. I've been in rooms with people that say, well, I really believe in FMS and Fusionetics. And I walk them through that and they go, yeah, so far I can't argue with you. Then I say, okay, so using that criteria, you do the math. And they go, yeah, that's right. We only come up with less than 10%. And so that's not a good screen. Are they test? Yes. What do they show you? I don't know. The number one complaint is once I get the number, now what do I do? I don't know. The number means nothing because you're adding pickles and oranges and an elephant. And if you have one pickle and three elephants and, two apples and you have the number eight, what do you really have? Well, I don't know. It's different between eight elephants and no pickles or eight pickles and no elephants. The picture changes. So one of the things that I would like to do, and again, I don't know how many people listen to your podcast, but I've heard great compliments about it, I think we should get into a room and have an educational debate about this. In other words, I think the FMS people, I think the Fusionetics people, and I think the 3D Maps people and anybody else who has a system that maybe we're not aware of, invited, and we do a summit. Because without a great evaluation, you got nothing. Mm. I mean, tell me what you got if you can't evaluate the human body. You're guessing. You're right. Following a protocol.
That's what I think is a scary thing for the client coming in who wants to improve, is that they've got somebody who might have an assessment tool, but after the assessment, they're still not sure what to do. So do you at the Gray Institute, do you teach the fitness professionals that are coming in what to do once they've done their assessment?
Beautiful. So one of the things that we're involved in, give you a quick example of that, so we're not picking on necessarily the fitness professionals, is that we have a golf system that's based on 3D Maps. Strangely enough, it's called 3D Maps for Golf. So the six movements of 3D Maps give me a little bit of insight, but golf has its own unique movements and therefore its own unique combination of motions. And therefore I have to add four more movements onto my 3D maps to make it specific for golf. And once I see that, then I teach the person who gets the specialty in the functional golf system what to do next. Okay. What's the most optimal thing to give that golfer to do next to, strangely enough, allow him to become a better golfer. So you take a typical client that walks through the door, and our competitor, TPI, they have a big, long assessment form that 99% of it's not functional. Makes no sense to me, again. And again, that's my opinion, but it's an opinion of a lot of other people. But what's crazy is when they put the evaluation form, they do the same things with the golfer. You know, so I sent five of my friends down to get evaluated by a TPI specialist, and all five of them came back with the same Xerox copy of the same five exercises they're supposed to do. And I'm thinking, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. Why did they assess you? Why do they waste your time if they already know they're going to give you that? And so a lot of times personal trainers will have an idea. Here's what I'm going to do with them no matter what. So if they get a number 12, if they do a get red or yellow or green or whatever they got, I'm going to still go to my teddy bear and still do this. But then it doesn't have anything to do with what they just assessed. And that makes no sense. We have a saying at the Gray Institute, the test should be the exercise. And the exercise should be the test. So if I see you assess somebody, if it's the right assessment, your training should look a lot like that.
Yeah. Really. Justin and I were actually just talking about this yesterday, and I was talking to him about how I've worked on assessing my clients, and I really want to evolve it more. But one of the things I said to him that I find my clients respond well to is when they don't feel like they're being assessed. They feel like they're being trained. And while they're being trained, I'm assessing them. Amen. And that's why I really, really enjoy the Procedos, because you can do that. You know, you're working on that functional sphere. You're having them move around in these different angles and ranges of movement. And
beautiful.
They say it hurts. There you go. And I would love to learn more about what to do when something hurts, where, when, what, where, you know, all that
stuff. You know, you just helped us out a lot because, again, Procedos obviously uses 3D maps. They use the target, you know, three-dimensional targets. They use the lunge system of 3D maps and the reach system of 3D maps. So obviously we're part of Procedos too, so we're a big Procedos fan. And I think you just said it brilliantly, that when my clients are training, they're training and I'm evaluating them all at the same time. And you have the wisdom, like you just said, that, hey, wait a minute, you did that really good. I can add some things onto that and tweak it, make it a little tougher. Or wait a minute, that hurt a little bit, so I'm going to take you into a little different plane of motion. Or you know what? There's a restriction there that I didn't see before. So that what you just did in your training really was an assessment that gives me guidance as to what to do next. So I appreciate you making that comment because I think you just simplified it for all that. You just named the game. You just said, get them moving enough that you can, they feel like they're training. The training really is the assessment. You kind of ebb and flow with them. And the great trainers on the spot, like you do, Tina, is you instantly say, hey, that was good, but can you put your foot over here on this dot? Mm-hmm. Or, hey, that was good. Put your foot over here on this dot and make this arm go here. And immediately you look at the right hip and go, ah, that's what I wanted for the right hip. So if you want to say what you just said again, I'd want the listeners to play back what you just said, because what you just said is the mountaintop brilliance of what we're trying to say.
Well, you know, a big part of it was coming into the industry as a personal trainer. I was lucky to kind of jump quickly into a role where I was overseeing other personal trainers. Mm-hmm. And I have a constant eagle eye on watching everybody, learning from them, and also just getting to know them. So I pair them with clients. So
sure.
Seeing the clients and how they respond to different approaches is what kind of pushed me in that direction. Because, I mean, there's no right or wrong. Like I was telling Justin yesterday, that we have some trainers who have iPads out and they're calculating things and they're sitting them down. And that works for some people. I've seen a lot of joy on the faces of clients when it doesn't feel like they're in a classroom. Sure. They feel like they're working out and they don't, it's not like they're saying, I want to just work on my golf swing. No, we're training. And that happens to go hand in hand with making you better at your golf swing or making you fitter. That's honestly one of the biggest things people care about. Getting fitter and being able to continuously get fitter without injuring themselves.
Exactly. And I think you hit on something there. When you observe great trainers work with their clients, they're listening to their clients and they're watching their clients and they're adjusting all the time. Because if I come to you and say, you know, I'm an old guy and I want to go through a personal training and I really like golf. And I spend the whole first session doing nothing that smells like golf, I'm not engaged. Because I thought I just said to you, I'd want to get better at golf. So theoretically, you should assess me relative to how well my body is able to go through the motions that facilitate a golf swing. And theoretically, you should spend most of your time with me training my joints, the motions of my joints to contribute to that movement so that when I leave you, I go brag to my golf partners to say, Tina is a wizard because I told her I wanted to swing the golf club better. And most of my training session had to do with swinging the golf club. And that, again, scares most trainers because they'd say, well, I wouldn't even know where to start. I don't know how to assess that. And that's where 3D maps is an advantage because it's the foundation for everything. You would start with 3D maps, and then you would add a couple to look at golf. You'd add a couple to look at throwing. You'd add a couple to look at working in the garden. You'd add a couple to burn more calories to lose weight. You'd add a couple to have better posture. You'd add a couple to prevent an ACL tear. You'd add a couple to, as Justin said, if it's just a specific joint that got torn up, the performance of that joint, we'd add a couple to go zero in on that joint. So you hit it right on the nose. Good job, Tina.
Excellent. Nice. The question that I'm curious about is, you have an educational session that you say you bring it to Midtown Athletic Club. Cause I looked at your schedule and you've got an education session coming in up in at Midtown. Does that incorporate everything, or do you have different separate tiers of qualifications or education seminars or things like that, that specify different training, like the golf training or say a basketball training or different athletics or rehab or what have you?
Beautiful. So yes, the answer is yes. So if you're going to like Midtown and you're going to be introduced to 3D maps, when you leave, you get certified in 3D maps, which, again, this is how dumb we are. The very last thing we've came up with was 3D maps. In other words, we've been doing this for 45 years and we didn't come up with it until 3 years ago. The very first thing we came up with is this complex chain reaction thing, a seminar we've been doing for 34 years now. It's the longest standing rehab seminar and now performance training seminar in the world, which gets you quickly into the valley and says, so like I'll ask you a question. So do you ever deal with clients that have low back pain? And we all go, well, of course, you know, that's okay. So if they say their low back hurts when they're walking, do you know when the right metatarsal joint goes through inversion, abduction, and dorsiflexion, what the right hip is doing in all three planes of motion? And can you then tell me what L5 is doing in all three planes of motion? Of course, I already know the answer to that. No. A doctor of physical therapy doesn't know that answer. I've been in rooms full of 100 therapists who are doctors of physical therapy. I'll ask that question, and I'll say, do you know that? And they go, no. Well, if they told you that when they walk, their back hurts, and you're a movement specialist, should you know that? And the answer is that I want to talk to the person who says, no, that I should know that. Because they're saying, in my unique body, when I walk, my back hurts. Help me with my back pain. Don't ignore it. And take me through training that attacks a part of my body that will actually contribute to the well-being of my back. And so I think if we had an opportunity to live again, which I don't want to, I'd want to, you know, finally die, get to heaven, and I don't want to come back. But if somebody forced me to, it would probably happen the same way, because we had to go through the grunt of understanding the chain reaction biomechanics of the human body and how the proprioceptors really work and how the joints really work and how the capsules work and how the muscles really work, not what the books tell us, to finally come up with something like 3D maps. So if you go to Midtown and you get introduced to 3D maps, bad news is you're going to say, this makes a ton of sense. This is common sense. I want to follow this path. So now the path can go. We have another certification in what we call CAB, Certification of Applied Functional Science. That's saying, now that you know this, now we can go more specific. So we'll look at the hip, but we'll never look at the hip excluding the knee and the low back. In other words, it's what we call integrated isolation. So some people would say, well, so you're going to isolate and become more local? We're going to isolate it, but we're going to do it while it's functional. So it's really isolated integration. It's not artificial isolation. An example is I can stand and I can do certain motions with my other foot and certain motions with my hands that attack my right hip while it's integrated into the rest of the body. We would call that isolation. Other people would say, no, I'm going to lay on a table, let nothing else move, and I'll wiggle your hip, and that's isolation. The one on the table is artificial isolation. The one standing is functional integrated isolation. So that's what CAVS takes you through. We have, in fact, just outside the door here, we have one of our professionals just finishing up, especially on what we call female chain reaction. Just unique things with the female body relative to pregnancy, relative to biomechanics, relative to urinary incontinence, relative to pelvic pain, relative to baby delivery, relative to all the things that make women beautiful but make them unique, and how you apply the chain reaction biomechanics and 3D maps to that. Like I said, we have a specialty in golf. We have a specialty in aging. In other words, all these things apply to somebody who's three, but that also applies to people who are 93. But you got to tweak it a little bit. You got to, there's certain considerations for us old people that we don't have for the young people. And so we have soft tissue certification. In other words, those who are really good with their hands, how do we use our hands to create movement as opposed to just lay somebody down and rub on some soft tissue and pray that when they get up, they feel better. So a lot of our soft tissue work, you're actually standing. And so if you saw somebody do soft tissue work on me and you saw me, for instance, in a thing we use is a true stretch. It's just kind of this cage that you get in and you hold and you stretch three-dimensionally. You'd actually see me in that cage in a certain position and they'd be working on my soft tissue. But when you looked at the position, you'd go, Gary, that looks a lot like the backswing of golf. And I'd get a smile on my face and I'd go, it is the backswing of golf. I want my tissues to be elastic when I need them in the backswing of golf. And then you'd say, I bet you're going to do that on the follow through of golf. And I'd say, you're brilliant. So you'd see me actually take my hands way to the other side of the true stretch. And you'd see my soft tissue specialist get inside the true stretch with me and work on parts of my body, my fascia and my muscles and deep into my capsules to facilitate the motion that I want while I'm in that functional position. We call that transformational zone position. So the beautiful thing about what we teach is it always builds. It's not we're going over here today and we're going over there today. And some things that I see, like some of the evaluations we already mentioned, I'll see the evaluation, but when they train, it doesn't even look like the same thing. I wouldn't even know that they're the same group. So I scratch my head and go, that makes absolutely no sense to me. The best test for jumping, strangely enough, is jumping. And if you're going to become a better jumper, most of your training better look a lot like jumping. And then if you do it right, when you come back to be retested, you're going to, strangely enough, jump better. And so do we have 3D maps for jumping? Yes, we do. And so it builds upon. So I appreciate you asking. The enchilada, though, is this 40-week mentorship program, because after we've done thousands of seminars, people kept wanting to go, we want to go deeper. And I go, I don't think you do. I you know, this is hard stuff. So we're now in our 14th year of doing a thing called GIFT. It's called the Gray Institute of Functional Transformation. And it's a 40-week online program where three times a year you get to come and hang out with us. We average, which we always have 80 people in a class. So in our 14 years, we've got about 11 to 1200 people throughout the world involving over 35 countries. People who say, I want to go deep. People, it's the athlete who says, I want to be the best. So it's the movement professional who says, you know what? I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm putting time in. I'm going to, you know, train myself every day. I'm going to understand the human body better than anybody else in the world. So I have competence, and I have confidence when that person walks to the door and they say, hi, I love the bowl on Thursday night with my buddies, but my back's killing me. Could you help me? And we'll go, we're going to do 3D maps. We're going to do 3D maps for bowling. We're going to find out where your successes are. We're going to build upon your successes. We're going to really give you some cool things to do at home. You might want to schedule bowling next Thursday with your buddies because you're going to be there and your back pain is going to go away. And all of a sudden you go, woo, you got to know a lot to do that. You can't just follow a protocol. You just can't follow a training program and all of a sudden have that happen. So we do have levels and stages of educational training. We'll be coming up with a lot more specialties, one specifically on strength training, because there's a lot of misconception on what, like you said, performance and strength training is. ACL, injury reduction, we don't call prevention anymore. We're just praying that our daughters, sons and daughters don't have it. So has anybody really studied what happens with an ACL injury? And has anybody really studied, therefore, what you should subconsciously have an athlete do to try to limit their potential for having the knee go into that particular motion to tear the ACL? There's none out there that I know of right now that we like. And so we're going to be doing that. So I appreciate the question, Justin, because yes, applied functional science is a journey that lasts a lifetime. There's levels. I'm still studying it. Like I said, I think I know 5%. And I'll be happy to know 6 or 7%. And if I can hand that off to you guys before I die, I'm going to be a happy guy. But there's so much to learn out there. And that's what's so exciting about our field. We barely know how this amazing human body does what it does.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot of people that would like to follow in your footsteps and take this to whatever level it's going to be in 10, 20, 30 years down the line. People like Jason Hemera
you got it.
Are totally in that place of wanting to know more. There, the constant curiosity of Jason mm-hmm. always fascinates me, and his way of talking about things and challenging my mind to think through things really deeply is awesome. I love when I listen to people like Jason speak, because it starts to get the wheels spinning, and I'm having to think through things in a deeper level. And I'm reading a book right now called Deep Work, and Cal Newton, I believe, is his name, and he wrote it. It's on that same line of sitting down without distraction and having to really think through hard problems yep. is a very powerful and a lost tool. People mm-hmm. are looking for the quick answer, the quick fix, the Google answer to all of their problems or all of their questions. And the way that you are putting this program together, these programs together, and the people that are going through it are obviously taking it to the deep work level where they're
yeah, Jason's a great example. He's such a good example. We now have him as a facilitator this year.
Fantastic. So,
you know, we saw his skill set of being able to empower people. The beautiful thing is, you know, about Jason, he can challenge you without making you feel like crap.
Right. Yes. That's a key. Yeah,
I have a lot of people around me that challenge me, but I immediately feel like crap because, like, oh, man, I guess I should have known that. And most of the stuff we shouldn't have known. You know, that's the beauty of what we teach at Gray Institute. We didn't learn it in school. It's not like you missed it. You know, it wasn't like you just decided not to show up to that class or you skipped that part of your certification. You know, we put our hands around people just like us and say, hey, listen, it's not your fault. We none of us learned this. So let's learn it together. But we need to learn this if we're going to be the best at what we want to be. We really have to take this commitment. And as you know, some people, the ones that do like the quick Google answer, they're really happy with just, you know, being a trainer and just following a protocol or just doing what they did before, or putting another weight plate on and saying, I guess you're a little stronger today, and not scratching their head going, how can I really empower this person? We have physical therapists the same way. They love to work with companies who say, you know, here's low back pain. Here's the protocol for low back pain. Hopefully the patient response to this, and if not, too bad. Never once ask, I wonder what really caused their low back pain. Mm-hmm. And biomechanically, do I have to look at the subtalar joint? Do I have to look at the knee? Do I have to look at the hips in all six motions? Do I have to look at the thoracic spine? Well, of course you do, but they don't. And therefore, they really need 3D maps, and they need to know the chain reaction biomechanics as it relates to low back pain. So, you know, our industry is no different than the other industry. We got people who are really dedicated to looking in the mirror in the morning like you guys are and saying, we're going to do our best. And we're going to facilitate an environment such as this wonderful podcast of getting the information out there so everybody can do their best. And we're going to leave the world a better place. And then we have some people that go, I'm very happy to float. Sometimes I'm jealous of those floaters because, you know, they don't have to go in those dark, deep recesses and challenge themselves and go, oh, crap, I think I've just screwed this up for 40 years of my life. But, you know, no sense doing it 41 years. So, you know, kick in gear and change gears. So we got both types.
I think one of the main points and differences that you guys are talking about is looking at things through an evaluation lens versus a judgment lens. And I think that's what transforms sort of the curiosity and brings it to life in people, which is what changes things, what evolves things. And that's also what boils down to the best educators. Like you're talking about Jason, I think he is always evaluating, but never judging. And, you know, that creates all that curiosity that he brings to the table, not only for himself, but he ignites it in other people. He says, mm-hmm. Hey, I'm not judging you. Let's talk about this. Let's have a conversation about this. And then he might throw in, you know, some of that, those really important morsels that redirect our evaluating process, which is important. We need that when we're learning. But he never forces us down a path when we're learning. And I feel from our conversation with you, you seem to kind of have that direction about you as well, which is.
Yeah. I think human nature wants me to judge. I taught it was early on to judge, you know, pretty ugly, tall, small, skinny, fat, you know, good, bad, right, wrong, up, down. You know, we're a society of this or that. And where I think the good Lord wants us to paradoxically embrace both. You know, so again, we have our processes we go through, and other people have other processes to go through. We strongly recommend to somebody to take the best of both. You know, it's not an either or thing. And like you just said, Tina, beautifully, you know, if we're constantly are judging, you know, am I better than you? Am I this than you? Are you that? We get that judgmental attitude, and it's a destroying kind of a personality. But to evaluate for the purpose of uplifting and encouraging is a whole different thing. So again, 3D Maps teaches you where to find success and build upon success, where most systems say, find out what they're doing wrong and then try to fix it. That's judgment. Not, you only got a 12. You just judge me. What do you mean? 12? Yeah, you're supposed to have a 21. You're bad. Yeah. Okay, that's not good. So immediately you got them on the wrong side of the road. We want to put our arms around people and say, listen, I know you're trying. You have some gifts in your body. We're going to bring out those gifts, and we're going to empower you. We're going to encourage you. We're going to engage you, and we're going to love on you by utilizing our understanding of human biomechanics to get there. The greatest need today in today's world is the gift of encouragement. Everything we teach, we do. The ultimate gift is so when you leave my presence, I can somehow, some way look you in the eye and say, I appreciate you. I'm proud of you. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your life. And that has no judgment tone to it.
That's exactly yeah. right. And I think you hit a perfect segue to the finish of this particular show, in that that's what we look for in our show, is to help people empower themselves and find a way to stay inspired when life or work or whatever might be trying to drag you down.
Routine
drags you down. I've been telling my daughters this. I have two young daughters, and I've been telling both of them that they're in life. You don't have failures. You have lessons. Mm-hmm. Every time you might think something is a failure, whether it's a test or didn't get an audition apart for the audition didn't go well or whatever it might be, that's a lesson, not a failure. You take and you learn from it, and you go back to the drawing board and you do it again. Mm-hmm. And it's progress forward. It's like you talked about being in the canyon. You're down in the canyon. You're learning and you're learning and you're learning constantly through these life lessons to get to the successes in your world. And yeah. A real positive message that you're sending.
Yeah, your daughters are blessed because they have a father who understands that. And believe it or not, not only movement professionals, a lot of times we don't understand that, but even as parents, we don't understand that. We let the world judge our kids. We let society judge our kids, and we let everybody else judge our kids. And we don't have the wisdom to do what you just did and say, listen, sweetie, somebody's going to try to judge you as you didn't make it. This didn't add up here. You know, some arbitrary thing that they thought was either good or bad. But it's just simply a lesson. It's a stepping stone. And you know what, sweetie, you're awesome just the way you are. And I love you just the way you are. Mm-hmm. There's nobody's going to judge at any time. Certainly me and mom aren't going to do that. And to be able to do that as a father is extremely powerful. To then apply that to our personal training clients and our patients is the same thing. Listen, I'm not going to let anybody judge you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to love on you. I'm here to let everything we're going to do here in this session is going to be a lesson, and we're going to build upon it. We're going to get better at what we want to get better at. And if nothing else, we're going to become great friends. And like you said, I love the word. We're going to just simply try to, life's tough enough. Let's inspire each other. Mm-hmm. Just love on each other and let's inspire each other.
Well, Dr. Gray, this has been fantastic. I'm going to put in the show notes for those of you that are listening, the update, the link to the schedule of upcoming courses for 3D Maps. So if you are interested in getting into 3D Maps and becoming a part of this fantastic company, please check out the show notes. And Dr. Gray, a huge thank you from us for spending the time with us and coming onto the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks is all mine. You guys are doing a wonderful job. I'm thankful that, you know, I got to see your faces in this, because I can see how loving you guys are and how much you care. And but just the fact that you were kind enough to invite me and ask some good leading questions, and just knowing how much you guys care about creating the passion in our profession and inspiring other people means a great deal to me. So I really want to thank you guys and keep up the great work.
Thank you very much. And we would love to have you back again anytime. So
you invite me, I will be there.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Okay. All right. Dr. Gary Gray, everybody, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Bye.
This is John. Thanks for joining us here on the Gray Institute podcast. At Gray Institute, our goal is to do one thing the best we can, and that is to help you become the go-to movement professional. If you have a question for future podcasts or questions about anything Gray Institute offers, including education, live or online specializations, or mentorships, please email us at info@grayinstitute.com. If we use your question on air, we will send you some cool stuff. Be sure to look for our next podcast coming soon. Have a great day.